not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. Mm. Now, so when we realize that God is watching over his word, he has a vested interest in our winning.
Mm. Oh, he does.
Now, I got that revelation the last 24 hours. I got so happy because, you know, when I go to court, the judge is my friend, and Jesus, my attorney, is my friend, and Jesus and the Father obviously are divinely connected in the Trinity. Why? How can I lose? Because when he says in Isaiah, he says, I want you to come and argue your case. In Isaiah 43:26. Argue your case. State your case.
That you may be proved right.
Right. Okay, read that exactly. You got it in front of you?
Well, it says, put me in remembrance. And literally in the Hebrew, it says, report to me. Report to me. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right.
Okay. Now, in this courtroom scene, God has a vested interest in his word because he's watching over. He says, I won't alter it, won't violate it, can't fail. All right, so God is there, in a sense, defending his word, but in the defense of his word, you're going to get what you want because you're standing on one of his promises. He says, I watch over my word to perform it. So when you realize that the judge here that can give a rendering, which he's going to do, and the attorney over here, and you're bringing everything into agreement, what God says, what Jesus says, what you says, you're all three standing on the word, and it's dedicated to your winning. It's dedicated to your harvest. Well, how can you lose? And I've heard people say, well, they went to court, but you know, and usually it's a small town, in that little town, why, my dad went to school with the judge. He knew the judge well, and he knew the attorney over there, and they got together, and my grandson or my son or my family member was extended much grace in the courtroom. The judge decided to give him a life sentence. Well, now, I've seen that. I prayed for a real tall Indian kid one time that was manufacturing drugs. He was guilty as guilty could be. And I was there. In fact, I went in with his mother to court, and the judge said, and he was known to be, by reputation, the toughest judge in Jefferson County, which is one of the large counties in Colorado. And this tall Indian kid stood up there, and the judge looked over the bench and said to him, how do you plead, young man? He said, I plead guilty. I did it. Well, his mother was sitting back there next to me. She grabbed my hand. I thought she was going to ram her fingernails clear right through my hand. And the judge says, do you understand, young man, based on the charges, I could give you 64 years of hard time in the penitentiary? And the young man stood there and said, yes, sir. But I wanted to tell you, I wanted to fess up. I wanted to tell you I did it. Now, when all that came around, and the attorney for the defendant, which was my friend, this young man, and by the way, we had prayed for him in one of our Tuesday night classes. The Holy Spirit touched him, laid him out on the floor for a while. God was working him over big time, but now the payoff's going to come in the courtroom. We went back for another session when the judge was going to do the sentencing, and the fine was like, I don't know, a few thousand dollars, 2 years probation, and I think it was like $400 fine, as I remember. It was very small. You say, how in the world can that happen? Well, I'll tell you, the judge that's over everything made a rendering because of the repentance in the young man's heart and changed the heart of the judge. Now, there's a long ways between 64 years and 2 years probation. He didn't serve any time. You say, well, how could that be? He was guilty. Yes, I know, but the judge had mercy on his case. And you know, God has great mercy for us, and he's extended us grace. We read about that all through the New Testament, and what all of us need is grace in God's court. Barb, what do you think? You're shaking your head there.
I agree, and that same story in Matthew 13 tells us that we are responsible for planting in the soil good seed, and we're responsible for that good seed. But the harassments and the threats and all of that, with our good confession, our word confession, God's going to take care of all the tares. He's going to take care of all the weeds and all that tries to grow up in our fields. And Darren, I believe that we try to do too much in God's place. We try to make ourselves God sometimes and do the things that he has promised that he and the angels are going to take care of. Now, he gives us certain certain responsibilities, and we're supposed to take care of those responsibilities. The confession of our faith every day, that's a responsibility. The reading of the word and the praying every day, that's our responsibility. But God's going to take care of the enemy. That's really important to know that.
Well, and I agree with that. And when the word says all things belong to you, all things belong to you, that means all promises belong to you. And you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. I mean, you can't get a better deal than that.
That's right.
Then if you go over into Ephesians 3, love this chapter. Let's begin with the 16th verse of Ephesians 3. I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. And we get on down, 19th verse, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be fulfilled, that you would be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And that power that's working within us that God is watching over is his word.
That's right, yes.
So if we say, I want my heart to be good soil, and you must have good soil to plant seed in, and your heart needs to be without compromise, it needs to be without sin in it, and if there's sin, take care of it. Go over and say, God, I know there's sin in my heart. I confess that as sin. I see it. I admit it, and I'm asking you to take it away. And he will instantly forgive you because he said, I'm faithful, just, I'll cleanse you, I'll forgive you, you know, I'll declare you righteous.
Yes.
Well, in John chapter 13, we have a power of attorney given to us in Jesus' name. It says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. See, he's saying, here's my name to use, and I'll back up this power of attorney. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
That's John 14.
That's John 14, verse 13 and 14.
Yes,
and he's saying,
God,
you make the request. What you ask in my name, operate in my name, represent me. Now, I would say it this way. If you can only understand any other way, pretend that you're Jesus. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't do that. But the word says, as my Father sent me, I send you. And as he is, so are we in the world. Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus is saying, I'm not there in the flesh anymore, guys. But here's my name. Now, go use it, and I will perform on my word, just as if I'd spoken it myself. Well, that's a power of attorney. That's the best way I can explain that. Now, he said this in John 15, verse 16. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Now, one of the things about the word, Barbara, that I'm coming to understand, that every day, the word is spoken afresh in our universe. Because the New Testament says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what it says about Jesus. And he says about his word, my word is active and sharper than a two-edged sword. That means it's still being spoken every day, and it's still active, and it's still at work. So when we realize that word is still spoken over our lives and around us, and I know that's a little far-out concept, but it's true. God's word is still active. It's still working. It's still being spoken. Well, then we can cash in on that. And I believe we can move over to Job 22:28 that says, decree a thing, it shall be established for you. Didn't say by you. Didn't say by your efforts. It says, decree a thing, it shall be established for you, and light will shine on your ways, or understanding will come to you. Well, as we begin to declare the word of God, we make that a lifestyle. And we all of a sudden we develop a confidence in the Lord. Lord, you want me to win. Lord, you're watching over your word to perform it. You don't want it to fail. And your holiness is at stake here. So, Lord, you're going to make real sure that if there's faith found on the earth, that you're going to come through and perform. And guess what? The sowers of the seed, which that's who we are, we're going to have a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely guaranteed in Scripture.